I hope you are getting my point. I said along the line that we'll talk about it, we are dropping things here and there, on what it means to know the will of God. The will of God is not I have prayed enough and he has spoken. What you hear is less dependent on what God wants to say than it is dependent on what you are able to hear, even if God were speaking to you. The Lord can turn to you and say, my son Andrew, and say, yes, Lord. What did I say? Now you don't know yet. It's called speaking in tongues. There are tongues of angels and tongues of men. And there is the tongue of God, which in the beginning just said, the Lord just came on the scene. The Spirit brooded, and then you just hear, and there was light. Did you notice what I said? I first said something, you didn't hear it. And there was light. So Moses said, what did he say? So, since there was light, it must have been, let there be light. So Moses wrote it down and said, and the Lord said, let there be light. He said, Pastor Frank, what are you talking about? Which language did he speak? Nobody was speaking Hebrew. There was no Greek. All that happened was that God looked, and everything that was inside him suddenly erupted out of him. So Moses just, and there was light. So Moses had to bring that, because the Bible says his voice is like that of many thunders. It's like the roaring of waters. So Moses quickly summarized it for you and me. And the Lord said, let there be light. What I've told you now is deep. I'm bringing an issue here. So when the Lord said, Andrew, and he said, yes, Lord. They now go and say, what did he say? Of all the things he said, what enters your ears depends on what you are able to hear. What I just said now could be the detail of everything that your life is supposed to accomplish in ministry. That may be it. But the point that you just hear, come, follow me. That's the first thing you hear. You'll now be testifying. I heard the Lord say to me, come, follow me. Actually, he said more than that. He said, come, follow me. Then he said, come, follow me. Then to Bosnia and Herzegovina. Come follow me to Serbia, Montenegro. Then leave Montenegro and follow me to Sambisa Forest. From there, everything was said. But you don't even know where each of these places are. So you can't hear it. So I hear, come follow me, go to church, praise God. The Lord said I should follow him. So every day I follow him. Yesterday I was in Ogbete. I was following the Lord. Yesterday I was, the Lord said, fine. No, he's coming up. Then one day you come for a message, for a program. Somebody is preaching. And somebody begins to tell you about world evangelism. And as you are hearing it, that voice you heard 3 years ago resounds. This time around, foreign missions is clearer. In the same voice. But you couldn't hear foreign missions because all your life you never knew people could go on foreign missions. That's why you can't stay at home and be a Christian. It's not possible. You have to go to where the word of God is being released. That is what makes you able to decode what God is saying to you. How do I go for foreign missions? The Lord is leading me. The Lord is leading me. You go to a place where they teach a foreign language. You start learning how to relate with other people. Then one day you hear that, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You realize I can't go on foreign missions until I have power to be able to do that work. You see the same single that the Lord said 3 years ago. Then one day you wake up in the morning because you have watched news. You've heard of Bosnia. Are you getting my point? You've heard of Montenegro. And then the Holy Spirit can communicate to you again. So that voice suddenly becomes clearer. He hasn't repeated himself. That's why David said once he spoke. Just once he spoke. The words starts bouncing. The words, they start bouncing. They go, they come back. So you can hear that word 50 times. What you decode, that's what I'm trying to emphasize, all right, is how much you can understand. That's why Jesus said when he was with them physically, there are many things I want to tell you, but you can't bear them now. So if God tells you some things, you can't even understand. So the word just keeps floating around. Each time, you understand, you are able to connect with one realm of it, you hear it again. And listen to me, listen to this. Until you hear, you can't become. Until you hear, you can't obey. Until you hear, you can't fulfill. You can only fulfill that which you have heard. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So, and then look, I told you before, God, all this ignorance I did not know doesn't work when you get to heaven. So once God gives a word, it is your duty to keep on learning so you can hear that word. And the more you learn, the more mature you become, the more understanding you have, the more of that word you hear. And the moment you now hear it, are you getting my point? Suddenly you become it. So once the word for the of the Lord that says, go to Croatia, when it hits you, suddenly visa to Croatia, how to get there, money to go, do you get my point? Money to go travel with, where to arrive, what to do when you get there, will suddenly become clear to you. That's why we can't fulfill the will of God for our lives until we take time out to learn to know this God. I hope you're following what I say. Listen, my warning is this. He says to you clearly, it is your responsibility. What you don't know is because you don't want to know, not because I don't want to teach. If I'm not even in this 2015, what I mean is that where the opportunities to learn, you go to a church where they're not teaching anything. Do you have a phone that can't connect to where they teach everything? Of course. I mean, in a place like Nigeria, no site is blocked. You know that? None. There's no restriction on distribution of any message. Even Father Mbaka caused the government. They set the city for road. Nigeria is an interesting place. Everything is available. Everything. So God doesn't understand why you don't understand some things. No. If you are still making merchandise of your soul, you are still being deceived. 2015, God say, she likes deception. Yeah, she likes it. He likes it. That's the reason. Again, I'm emphasizing on the fact that it's our duty to what? To learn. We must go after it aggressively. If there's anything you don't have a word, you don't have something that God said about, don't practice it. Go and learn it. You want to marry, you don't know any. You don't know everything that, well, of course, nobody knows everything, but you don't know much concerning what the word of God says about marriage. Please, just postpone the wedding for just ordinary 5 months. You won't die. I don't mean 5 months of just playing around, though. No, I mean 5 months of, please, where's that book? You will call, should I say yes? Before I say yes, let me know whether I should say yes. Do you get my point? You read that one. You hear people refer to things. You keep on studying the scriptures. At the end of the day, you have a good foundation of what God is saying. And what you understand, what you believe, is what eventually comes to pass in your life. That's just it. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said all of this by trying to explain something. That number one way God leads us is that we just do that which is what? Right. And it's our duty to go and learn what is right. The older we get as Christians, the more God demands of us to know that which is right. Let's get into today's message. That was just, where did we get started from? My phone. Yes. So that we didn't lose the phone. That's how the Lord led us, so that we didn't lose it. That's what I'm trying to explain. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let's quickly go for the rest of the time we have. We'll begin what I want to share, and then we'll complete it next time. My initial plan, what I titled today's message before, is what I called it, enjoying life fully. This is an interesting topic, especially since we're talking about the high calling. But there's something I want to bring out from there, of course, when I caption it, enjoying life fully. Now, I'm going to take a number of scriptures. Which one do we start with? I have Philippians chapter 1. Okay, open to the book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Let's look at how to enjoy life fully. Let's start from verse 12, Philippians chapter 1. It said, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word without fear. And I said, people have different reasons why they are preaching. Some do it out of love, verse 16, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. And I said in verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Now remember, how to do what? Enjoy life, truly. So you notice something here. Paul is here, he's in prison. Paul is here, in confinement, a called preacher, an apostle of God. His primary desire was that the gospel of Christ should be preached. And there were two groups of people preaching because of the imprisonment of Paul. Some people were preaching anyhow, anyway. But two groups were preaching because of the imprisonment of Paul. One group was preaching to prove to Paul that he's not the only person who can preach. That's one group. Like with this Paul, the way he does is as if he's the only one who knows this thing. Let us show him that we can preach even if he's in prison. Let him die. The gospel of God will still go on. That's one group. A second group said, this is our brother Paul. If he was out now, by now this street will be evangelized. This is our brother Paul. If he was not in prison, by now this whole town will have heard the gospel. Let us let the Romans know that whether they lock him up or not, the gospel will still move forward. Let us encourage our brother while he's in prison. So they arraigned themselves and began to preach, towing the same line that Paul would have told, saying the same words, all right? Using the same words Paul would have used, just so that they can carry on the ministry of Paul. That's what's happening. Two of them preaching because of his imprisonment. And now Paul could have come out and say, what did he say? Brother Cletus, he said that about me? And he's in the prison there, he's getting angry. I should have known that I should never have trusted Cletus. I remember that time when Cletus was sick. I prayed until he got well. Why did I pray? I should have just let the idiot die. Do you understand my point? How can Cletus do this to me? But how did Paul react? Paul said, well, whether they are preaching to spite me or preaching to help me, he said, sure, they are preaching. Whatever be the motive, I rejoice that somebody is preaching. Let's rejoice. That's how the man was enjoying his life even though he was in prison. Bear that in mind. Listen, what happens to you in life is less important than how you react to it. Do you get my point? They said at the point in time, the great man, Thomas Edison, his factory caught fire and burnt to the ground completely. Using today's valuation, the factory would have been worth hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars. That time, it was worth $2 million. But if you use today's dollars, you're talking hundreds of millions or maybe billions of dollars. So they came to the man and said, see, your factory is burnt. What are we going to do? The man laughed and said, all our mistakes of the past have been burnt up. Now we can start again. That all the mistakes have been burnt. Let's start again. That was his reaction. Once Yonggi Cho nursed, that's David Yonggi Cho, as a good pastor would, he nursed a man out of poverty into prosperity. You know what I mean? By the preaching of the word of God. And the man was dealing in salt, a kind of salt. And then one day there was a flood. You know, the levees broke, flooded his factory, dissolved out all the chemicals out of the bags and left the bags for him. Do you know that kind of thing? He lost a lot of money. And then Yonggi Cho went, not knowing what to tell him. By the time he got to the man's factory, he saw the man rejoicing and thanking God. He, the pastor, was confused. I can't remember the details of the story, but he was the man that reminded the pastor where he came from. That the God that did it that time, who told pastor that God can't do it again? Listen, how you react to things is much more important than the thing that happened to you. That is a matter of fact. So Paul here explained to us that, listen, in this I rejoice. This is the cause of my joy. This is why I magnify, that is, I'm exalted inside me, because everybody is preaching. He said, and yes, I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body. Now notice this, whether by life or by death. The man was in prison. I want you to understand something. It was not prison of, he stole something, 5 years imprisonment, he will be released. No, that was not the kind of imprisonment. This was a kind of imprisonment in which, according to the Roman rules, he could get killed. And we all know now that eventually he was killed. They beheaded him. But look at the man looking forward to that kind of situation. That's what I want to talk about. How did he react? He said, whether I die or I live, one thing I'm sure of is that Christ will, he said, even now, as always, be exalted in my body. He said, for me, verse 21, he said, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He said, for to me. Now, I want you to understand something. It was to him. What I mean is that it was his ability to perceive reality that made these things like that. For those who can't perceive reality, to live for them may not be Christ. But for Paul, what it meant is that any life I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. Whatever I'm living for is what Christ ordained that I should be. Do you get my point? So for him, now you must understand something. What he was saying in effect is that if I'm alive, personally I'm gaining nothing. My life, it's a job. I don't know whether you're getting my point. It's an assignment, something to do. So if you take the life away, you have just said stop working. That you have just said stop working. It's like you go to, let us now just look at this as an example. You join Red Cross as a volunteer staff, and then you get down to, assuming there was one disaster, name one disaster recently around us, that's not a bomb blast. Yes. You join Doctors Without Borders, and you now go down to Sierra Leone to go and help them contain Ebola. Then you get there one day, somebody looks at you, you work for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, somebody comes and says, can I see your papers? You show your paper. I said, your visa is not valid. You know, you're going to look at him and say, so? You know, that's the attitude. So? I'm sorry, I'm going to have to deport you. You will look at him like, are you okay? I have come to an Ebola district to help you. Do you know the amount of fight my wife fought, called her father, called my father, called everybody before I could travel? It took my pastor to intervene to say God spoke to him before the family dispersed that day. You know, you're looking at, I have come to an Ebola, you are arguing with me over whether my visa is, even if I stole the passport, shouldn't you be happy? And then they now say they put you in a detention cell. They are now having a meeting on whether you should be deported or be allowed to stay. Then your wife now calls. I tell your wife, right now I'm in a detention camp while my case is being decided. For me to stay is work. For me to go home, to come back home, is gain. Now I'll regain your love. Do you get my point? That was Paul's attitude. He saw this life as purely a place where you come to fight against Ebola. That's why the challenges of life were not a big deal to him. That this thing you are even discussing. What are you talking about? Look, and let's continue reading it. That's just a good illustration there. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, it will mean fruitful labor for me. That is, amongst you now, that is, I will be bearing fruit. He said, and I do not know which to choose. Should I contest this deportation or accept for me to be deported? Do you understand what I'm trying to say there? He said, I am hard pressed from both directions. My wife is calling that I should come back home. But I feel a passion for the people that are in the Ebola area, trying to help them. I'm hard pressed. My family calls once in a while. My brother called the other day, told me that I was risking my life for nothing, whether I've forgotten that I have a wife and two children, you know, those kind of things. He said, I'm hard pressed. But anytime I want to go, I see the people who are sick, who need my help. That's what Paul was saying. He said, I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for this is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Those of you who are at risk of being infected by Ebola. Do you get you understand how we are drawing the parallel now? He said, listen, if I go home, I am sure I will drink water that is clean without any meat. That is, I don't have to wear a hot suit like this in this tropical environment to work. I go back home, maybe I'm a doctor, I go back to my clinic, I wear a nice white coat, sit down and see people who are hypertensive and diabetic, who cannot infect anybody, can't even infect themselves. He said, which is much better? That's what he was saying. He said, that one is much better. There's more peace of mind. He said, however, if I stay here, I will be able to help more people. That's what he called fruitful labor. So he said to them, let me just go by it again. I'm hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for this is more, very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. He said now, verse 25, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Now, let me stop here, okay? Now, there's something I want to bring out from here. Paul here, as you can see, was writing to the Philippians. But my emphasis, okay, is the command he had concerning life. That's my emphasis here. The command. Please get my point. This man was imprisoned by people who could behead him, who could sentence him to death. Yeah, he's writing a letter as if he's the judge. Should I die now or die later? Okay, if I die now, that will be fruitful labor for me. I'm going home with you in Christ. Everywhere is peaceful there. Like one brother said to me the other day, he went for a trip in London. And he saw the royal family, the queen. The queen has gardens, all right? And he saw the queen's garden. And he said that, he called me, he said, Oga, I have found a reason to go to heaven. I said, why? He said, the place was so beautiful. The flowers looked as if they were sculpted, you know, as if somebody came and drew the flowers one by one. These are natural flowers. He said the place was so beautiful, he made up his mind. He has to go and see the one in heaven. That if the one on earth can be like this, I don't know whether you're getting his own way of reasoning. He said, this is ordinary earth, though. Let me go to heaven. That this heaven, we must all get there. That the place must be too fine. That's what Paul was saying. That maybe I should go home, go to heaven, and go and stay amongst grasses, you know, grass that doesn't wither, flowers that don't fade. Let me just drop something for you quickly. Heaven is a real place. There's no cloud there. So in case you think it is cloud, it's not cloud. It's a real place. They have chairs. They sit down. I'm not kidding. Those in heaven are looking at you as if you are spirits. They are not spirits. You are the one that's a spirit. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. Yes, if they look down, you look as if you are not real. When they dream of you. You say, I dreamt of something. No? And it's you they are thinking of. People in heaven, they are real. Do you get my point? Yes, sir. They see each other on the road. They greet. They give hugs. I'm not kidding. It's a real place. In fact, this man, Jenny Finisdick, used to say it's a planet. I have studied enough physics to know that that is not ridiculous anymore. The only thing I know for sure, all right, fairly for sure, is that that planet is, or that sphere is not within this one. You cannot ever find it with a telescope. But what I want to say to you is this, eh? Our world, this universe we are in, is within this one that we see the things, we see all the stars we are seeing. Eh? I can imagine the angels reading our physics textbooks and our astronomy, they'll be laughing. They'll be laughing. The issue is that our light, the frequency of our light, cannot penetrate into the heavenly realm. So we can never see what is there. However, this is what I'm talking about. However, it is as real. That's an insult to say it's as real as this. It's more real than this. The people in that realm, when they see this, it's so unreal to them, their hands pass through it. That is, if I brought a man in heaven to come down to the earth to preach, he couldn't lean on this. He will pass through it because this is not real. It will be as if you place gas here and said I should lean on clouds to preach. That's what this my mahogany pulpit. This is real mahogany. That's what this mahogany pulpit will look like to him. He will get there. He is so real. This is like gas. So if he tries to lean, he will fall forward. Except that gravity can't even pull him. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. He's so real. The man that's in heaven is so real. This is gas. It's just the way you will lean on cloud. You know, assuming you get up to the... How many of you have ever seen cloud before? Have you come close to cloud, you know? You've come close to it? Okay, when you are flying, all right? No, but you know, when you are flying, you are inside something. You can't see the cloud. You can't. Me, I've been to places where you can touch the cloud. Yeah, all you need to do is travel to very high mountainous areas. I wake up in the morning, what people from down will see as cloud will waft to my door. But this is the point I'm making. But because I was so close, it wasn't cloud. I will come out in the morning, wear a jacket, and come out into the cloud and pass through the cloud. Why? Because the cloud is nothing. Do you get my point? It's mist. It's mist. If you carry your mahogany into heaven, the reason why they don't accept it, not because they are afraid of it, is that it's mist. It's mist. That's why the angels will walk through it. That's why Jesus will walk through the wall. You are locking the door. He will walk through the wall. Because your concrete is mist. Listen, my friends. Heaven is a real place. They are not spirits like that. You are the one that's spirit when they look at it. Do you understand my point? That is, they are the ones that are real, the people who are there. And that is where you are going. When you get there, you find that it is real. They actually have homes. Because Jesus said that they are there, there are many dwelling places. One thing I can assure you of is that, look, whatever you see on this earth is a scaled-down version of what exists in heaven. Let me say that again. No matter how beautiful it is, whatever you see on this earth is a scaled down version of that which exists in heaven. This earth is not worth dying for. It's nothing. It's nothing. No matter how well you take care of your body, this flesh, you know, once you exit it and you're not using it again, if it's an African mortician that's handling you, you don't want to see yourself. This earth is nothing in it that is real. Not worth dying for. You can't mortgage your destiny because of car, house, material things. This is empty. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing in them. Nothing. 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 You won't carry it to heaven. They are not going to... In fact, you cannot... No, you can imagine. Maybe you go to... how can I describe it now? Name a beautiful country, you know? Beautiful country. Okay, maybe you go to... Okay, maybe you go to the Queen's Garden, you know, like what we're talking about, you understand? And you have, you know, your school. You have a football... Your football pitch is well manicured. Do they manicure lawns? Yes, they do now. Don't they manicure lawns? Hello, you know what I mean by manicure the lawn? It's well taken care of. your football field. Then you now go to the Queen's Garden. And I'm telling people, say, ah, this grass is fine. Though. If you see the grass in our football field, that the one in Arundizogu village, you see it there. It's very, very nice. You know, you'll be looking at yourself like, are they crazy? You know, that kind of thing. Yeah, that's why no matter how fine the houses you see on the earth, all right, no matter how fine they are, when you get to heaven, you can't even talk about them. You can't. You can't. There's nothing to talk about. It's undeveloped. You still have to put on light. Do you know that? On this earth. The Bible says that one in heaven, the presence of God, the glory of God is a light. The sun doesn't have to shine. The sun is so unimportant, it does not have to shine. This is your sun that's still bright. You know, how many of you have a techno touchlight? You know that touchlight? This LED light. When your house is pitch dark, you know it's very bright. You can see anything. But just come out at 8 a.m. in the morning, shine out for outside. Anybody go see him? That is how this our sun is if you were to take it to heaven. As bright as it is here, when it gets to heaven, they don't notice it because of the presence of the glory of God. The whole place is a ball of light. Heaven is real, friends. It is. It's very real. And those were the kind of things that Paul understood. So he looked at the earth like an Ebola field where he's doing somebody a favor to be around. So he said, I'm hard-pressed. I want to get out of here. The only thing is that because that's one thing about Christians. They have a mind, they have the attitude of God. Service to them is pulling. Service pulls them. Where they can walk and bear fruit, you understand? It attracts them. As Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I told you that time, one prayer, I started praying to God that God, a year ahead, before I leave this earth, give me visions. Let me be on edge, you understand what I mean? On edge like Paul. I want to go, I want to go, I want to go. Let it be only what I have to do. That's what's keeping me down here. This Paul was speaking like a judge. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. The man has such a command of things. He's now saying that, should I go or should I stay? This is a man who was imprisoned. This is a man who could be ordered beheaded and eventually was ordered beheaded. But one thing we know for sure, that he was ordered beheaded only because Paul said, time to go. And he wrote to Timothy about that. He said, I've looked around. I have fought my fight. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. He said, there's nothing that remains for me now apart from a crown of glory that is waiting, you know, which our master will give to anyone who does this and does that. And he explained to Timothy. He said, now I am ready to be poured forth as a drink offering. The decision to die when he died was Paul's decision. It was not the decision of the Romans. Paul made the decision to die. If he didn't want to be beheaded, he could have laid down like Moses and said to the Lord, let me lie down here. When they come in the morning, they will find a body to bury. And he will have laid down, and an angel will have just done like this. And out of that body, he will stretch forth his spiritual hand, and the angel will pull him out. And they will come in the morning and find a body that has expired. That's how confident the man was. But for him, the beheading was not painful. I don't know what I get the point. He didn't notice anything. He had to make a point. There was a point God wanted to use his life to make. So he said, okay, let them behead me. I remember I saw a film about his life many years ago. Brought out the man in the morning. He knelt down beside a piece of wood, uttered a prayer, and put his neck down. And one man just brought the axe down. Boom! Of course, you know the way it's in the film. They won't show you anything beyond that. And the head went off. But for Paul, it was nothing. That's my message. For a man to have such a command of life, one, he was the one that decided when he would die. Two, the mode of death, he wasn't afraid of anything. He could have laid down to die in peace. It's that command of life I am talking about. That command. Do you get my point? It doesn't start one day like, okay, you have spent all your life chasing money and living like your life depends on money. They now want to die in peace like that. Nonsense. You will die crying. You will look your bank balance as you die. They will have printed the statement the day before you fall sick. You will see dollars, 17 million, cash. Then the stockbroker will come. Chief, good morning, sir. How are you not feeling well? No problem, sir. You'll be fine. May God have mercy on your soul. You'll be fine. But please, here's your stock balance. He will show it to you. Value it. Kai, $350 million. I hope it's correct. If there's any problem, call the accountant. Please, I have to travel. The architect will come in and say, yes, the house has been completed. What is the value? $6 million. Yet you are sick. As you are looking at it like this, your kidney will call you. Hello, I'm packing up. Say one engine is not working again. You know, the angel of death is very funny. You just sit down there and be looking at you. The angel will just be laughing. So this money you acquired. Okay, what are you going to do now? The angel say, how much do you want? Angel say, what? That if I cut a blade of grass from heaven and bring it to the earth and convert it, it's worth more than everything you have. They forget that thing. I beg, wait, just enjoy your death dying process. You carry, that is, if I'm not sure, if you had lived all your life pursuing material things, that's how you would not want to die. Listen, what I'm preaching is that command of life that Paul had. That's my message for today. We just went into the other dimension, first of all. But listen, people of God, that's what I want to explain. Spiritual things are real. They are very real. For that reason, you say, okay, what about the things, material things we find on this earth? We treat them exactly the way we treat our bodies. We use them to fulfill a function, a purpose, of course, which can be summarized in the perfection of Christ. That's it. Because the perfection of Christ in us is carried up into eternity. Do you know that? It is. It's carried up into heaven. Christians, that's my message for today. I will stop here because of time, and we'll develop it again next time. I hope you are blessed today. I hope you learned something today. If you're blessed, tell your neighbor, I was blessed. Let's therefore bow down our heads and give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. 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 Thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for liberty. Say, Lord, thank you for understanding that makes it so that I do not pursue the things of this world and think that they are the main things in eternity. Say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for understanding. Thank you for liberating me through understanding. Oh, so now I understand it's possible to be rich and yet materially you look poor. And it's possible to be poor but materially you look very rich. Say, Lord, help me to mind the things that are above alone.